And hey, folks, thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Banff Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Lafferty. And today we have an actual play session of Icons, our favorite game. And it's being run by Miss Stacy Montgomery. How are you doing, Stacy?
Hello, hello. I do exceptionally well. Thank you.
Thank you. And Stacy, you might know her as Princess Stacy from RPGNet. And she will be.
Or not,
you know. She will be. Which adventure are you running for, Stacy?
Whatever you call it. It's the it's aquatic zombies of the German Navy.
Yeah, there you go.
Sorry, I don't know how to pronounce Kriegsmarine.
Kriegsmarine, exactly right. Yes.
Oh, a genius! Well, it's aquatic zombies of the Kriegsmarine, which is available on RPG Now, I believe,
for the low, low price of $2.50.
A bargain.
A bargain at twice the price. So one of our
No, at twice the price it would simply be acceptable. But at $2.50, it's a bargain.
And tell me why you find this particular adventure a bargain at $2.50, Stacey.
I'm really, really fond of this adventure. And when you said I could pick the one I wanted to do, I went for this one. I think this is a great adventure. It's very nicely. First of all, it's just got great art. It features Nazi zombies. And, you know, if there's anything that's at the core of sort of a superhero game, it's fighting Nazi zombies. That is the material from which superhero games are forged. Everything else is just fluff. And it's also, as I was saying to you before while we were in the green room, is that it's a nicely structured campaign. It's a nicely structured game. It's in three very nice parts, and you can play it quite nicely in the first two parts. You don't need the third part at all. But if you found yourself running short and the players wanted more, there's just no problem just transitioning and using the third section. Some of the other games in this series, they've got stuff you can sort of take in or out, but it's often stuff in the middle. But to take stuff in or out of the middle, you have to already know what's going on. Whereas it's really nice to have, I've used this before, it's just very convenient to have sort of the ability to sort of change the length of the game. Especially I get nervous when we're doing podcasts, because I find podcasts, you're a little bit more focused than I normally am at a game table, so I wear out a little faster. I don't think we've ever done an actual play beyond 90 minutes, because my throat gets all hoarse, and I start to just declare that the players are losing.
Well, my wife is very happy about that. So
Yeah. Usually, you know, if we start to get like an hour 15, an hour 20, I start saying, hey, let's do this in two parts. And I like the idea of being able to, the more adjustable it is, the more that, or the easier it is to adjust, the more I can do that on the fly. Because, you know, when I was 20, I could juggle all those things at the same time. But, now I am not 20, and I get tired faster, and I'm more easily confused.
I understand. Well, hey, let's do a quick roll call. Special guest today, we have Mr. Chris Tavares.
And I'm impressed you actually pronounced my last name correctly. Very few people can pull that off the first try.
With the last name like Lafferty, I try to get sensitive to that. Because I've been called Rafferty just way, way too many times. But Chris, thanks for joining us today. And who are you playing for our game today?
So I'm playing an original character I rolled up a couple of days ago. Is the Night Runner. I kind of see him as a cross between Spider-Man and the Creeper. The basic idea is his powers came from a family birthright. Apparently, somewhere back in the day, there was an affair with the Fae, and some Fae traits are coming forward in him, and so weird stuff are happening. What do you do when you could suddenly find yourself walking on walls?
Mm-hmm.
You become a superhero.
Cool. What's he look like? Just so I have a visual.
Fairly skinny, mostly black with green highlights. The mask is sort of the Jack Kirby New Gods kind of thing. Sort of covers the side and the eyes, but leaves the hair out. The hair is a dark green.
Okay. Cool. Cool. So, like you said, kind of a creeper and a Spider-Man sort of.
Yeah.
Okay, with some supernatural background with the Fae thing.
Yep.
Cool. Exactly.
Any other background tidbits you want to throw in there?
Let's see. I think they can come out. I actually pretty glad I rolled probability control as one of the powers, which is not something I've ever seen actually show up on an actual play, and I know it's a pain point, so I'm curious to see how it'll actually work in play.
Stacey, I think that's an indication for you to dig out your icons PDF and look up probability control.
Oh, yeah, probability control. How does that work? You guys keep talking while I just sort of thumb through here. I vaguely recall that there's such a power.
Well, you know, there's you can find all the icons rules online. There's an open gaming library that's got
There is, but I've got the book in front of me, which is actually just slightly faster.
Okay, there you go. And also joining us is Mr. Adrian Smith, our frequent co-host.
Hello there.
Hey, Adrian. And who will you be playing in the adventure tonight?
I will be bringing back the Koala with Attitude, Bandura. Basically, he is the spirit of a guy that... has been placed into a koala after saving the rainbow serpent from destruction back in the night, like late 70s. So he's kind of immortal, can't age. For the last 40 years, he's been traveling throughout the world solving supernatural crime as a koala.
So it's kind of like Detective Chimp from DC.
He's like Detective Chimp from DC, exactly, yes. I basically wanted something that was completely different. I was going to either go for the talking dog or a talking koala, and it came out as talking koala. So that's what he is.
Awesome. Well, hey, and you can find the stats for Bandura if you're interested in Improbable Tales of the Looking Glass, which is also available, as happenstance may have it. Boy, that was an awkward sentence. I'm sorry. At RPG,
but a very clear thought.
Yeah, thanks. I got to confess, I usually do these podcasts in kind of a haze of rum or red wine. And, since the birth of my son, Connor Patrick Lafferty, who is 9 weeks old today, actually right about now, I'm kind of living my life in a haze of sleep deprivation and milk spit up. So, in fact, right before I started the podcast, I was bouncing my baby boy on my knee, and he was just as calm as a Buddha, and then just, boom, Linda Blair from The Exorcist. So, I actually still have some sour breast milk on my shirt and pants as we speak. So, just so you folks know exactly where I'm coming from. Was that too much information? I overshared, didn't I? I'm sorry. There's an awkward silence. I'm going to keep on talking.
Those were the days. I don't miss them.
And I usually play Swahara, but I was kind of thinking maybe I was overdoing it, so I'm going to play the Hangman, and I'm going to do my best to Adam West it up. And the Hangman's in the Icons rule book, so you probably know who he is. He's basically a Batman pastiche with a grappling gun, he's got a noose of judgment he uses for binding and swinging. Other than that, he's very similar to a 1960s, 70s kind of Batman.
Hey, you don't have a copy of the Hangman's character sheet that you could send me, do you?
I do, and I'm mailing it to you right now, Stacey.
That would be handy. The Hangman, I've just changed computers this week.
Oh, no worries.
I have not completely... the Hangman is sitting very comfortably on the computer that isn't connected to anything. But
hey, no worries. Just sent it your way.
Thank you. Very helpful.
So, okay, and I'm going to be using the Wizards of the Coast die roller. And there it is. And let's see. All right, well, anything else you want to cover before we jump into the adventure, Stacey?
You mean as I'm reading the probability rules that I haven't looked at in ages? Other than that,
sorry.
No, no, it's okay. In fact, these are not so bad. I didn't remember them. I admit, but they look fine to me.
Well, you know, if we need some
Icons is a nice game.
I think that right now I'll take a moment and just in our hearts, 4 out of 40 for for Marvel Heroic Roleplaying.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Today is the last day you can buy Marvel Heroic Roleplaying on RPG Now.
Rush to RPG Now and make your purchases. There's some great games there with a lot of great stuff by a lot of great people.
Yeah, I was actually a writer on Annihilation, and I did a fair amount, a good-sized chunk for there's going to be an Annihilation sequel about the Thanos Imperative event, and alas, that will never see the light of day. But
that's what's really annoying, because that was when I was going, "Yeah, come on, Rocket Raccoon's coming along. Kevin's going to be there at 9."
Yeah, he was.
He died just before that.
Yeah, and I also wrote up the Nova Corps section, Annihilation. So hey, that's
nice.
Me.
Nice.
But, very nice.
Oh, thanks. But alas, Marvel Heroic Role Playing, we hardly knew ye. So I hate to waste liquor. Otherwise, I would literally pour out a 40 for it. But let's just say it's very sad. And it's a shame. Marvel seems to pull the plug on stuff early, don't they?
If I may say so, I in an earlier life, I actually went to the Marvel offices to sell them on a game.
Really?
Many years ago. Yes.
Oh.
Yes, it was actually kind of fun. I was there with as part of a startup gaming company, and you know, my boss was in a suit, but I was supposed to dress artistic. I actually said, "Oh, do I have to dress up?" And he was like, no, dress the way you always dress. It shows that we're creative." And I didn't know quite how to take that. But I did. And as soon as we sat down, you know, so it's me in a suit, and then we sit down in front of a suit, a Marvel suit. The Marvel suit guy, like, practically rings a little bell, and he brought in his nerd, who sat, like, across from me. And then we, like, honest to God, we, like, traded, like, how nerdy we were. Like, he was testing, like, was I nerdy enough for this? Like, and I did okay. And then we tried to make our pitch. And the thing I really learned is that, you know, Marvel is just so big that the role-playing games and computer games, back then especially, but that market was just so small that their interest was entirely one of abstract curiosity.
Well, I guess
like it had no weight to them at all. They were just like, yeah, but that's not enough money to, you know, to interest us.
Well, I understand Disney especially is kind of that way. You know, if it's not going to make, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars at least, they just don't care.
Well, exactly. The feeling is that it just takes so much, you know, getting anything involving the brand has to be approved by like 5 people. You know,
yeah.
And that time, you know, their time just isn't worth like a role-playing game.
Yeah. I'm glad the DC Comics role-playing game finally got finished. DC Adventures Universe just came out, I guess it's last week. It's number 5 right now on RPG Now. And I'm glad to finally see that out, because
I'm super happy.
We've been talking about this podcast for probably 18, 24, a while. So very happy to see it come out. Has anyone read that book yet?
I'm still waiting for it. I've got I pre-ordered it in my local gaming shop, so I'm waiting for my PDF code to come through so I can get it for $5.
Okay, that's $20 PDF. Chris, you say you haven't seen it either?
I have seen it for sale. I'm waiting for the print copy.
Okay.
I have a slot on my bookshelf that's been waiting for that book for quite a while, and I'm just glad I haven't accidentally filled it yet.
Mm-hmm. Okay, how often do you guys actually play Mutants and Masterminds?
I haven't actually played it.
Neither have I.
I have read it lots and lots of times. I'm actually, funnily enough, I'm supposed to be starting a campaign on Roll20 next week, possibly Mutants and Masterminds.
Oh, cool. Let me know how it goes.
I haven't played Mutants and Masterminds in like 2 years. It's for me, Mutants and Masterminds is about as crunchy as I can bear to even look at.
See, that's why I love it. It's all their numbers, all lovely.
I start to spin and fall down. I just can't do it.
I used to run a M&M game back when it was second ed. When it came to third ed, I was like, do I have the time to learn this? And I just never quite got around to it. But
there's not a difference. You can easily pick it up.
I gotta say, Mutants and Masterminds feels to me a lot like the GURPS of superheroes games, in that even if you don't play it, the supplements are so fabulous, regardless of what you're doing, they're worth picking up.
I bought everything, I think, pretty much they put out, and we were gonna start a second edition game, and then my friend moved away, so that never got started, so they had all the books on the shelf, and of course you have to pick up the third edition, just in case he comes back. So yeah, love them, but yeah.
Yeah, GURPS. I've actually got a few. I haven't played GURPS in 15 years, but I've got a couple of their supplements on the shelf just because they're fun. They're steampunk supplements.
I have GURPS Hellboy.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Didn't know they did one of those.
That's a rarity, I believe, yes.
They did, they did. And for some reason, it is a rarity, although you'd think everyone would have snatched it up. But I, yeah, it's gorgeous.
Leather-bound copy.
Nice. You know, I was talking to my local game shop the other day, and I was like, so what RPGs do you guys sell? And they're like, here, it's pretty much Savage Worlds and Pathfinder. And honestly, we just kind of carry those because we like RPGs. What's paying the rent is Magic cards and war games.
Crikey, I thought Magic died.
That's still a big deal over here.
Crikey.
Yeah.
Magic the Gathering, still the greatest idea in game design history. Just so clever. Just to combine a card game with collectible cards.
Well,
I was actually in a room with a bunch of game designers when someone said, which means mostly unemployed people, when someone said, look at this, years ago, someone said, look at this new game, and he passed around the first box of Magic the Gathering any of us had seen, and we all went, we just swore.
Oh, yeah, we used to.
And even then, we didn't see how big it would be, but.
Yeah, we used to call it Cardboard Crack.
Sure.
Terribly clever.
Yeah. Well, hey, was that enough filler for you?
Yeah, so you guys ready to play?
Okay.
Good.
Let's roll.
Okay. So stepping into GM mode, I'm going to, for those of you who want to compare tonight's adventure with the actual printed game, I'm going to take a liberty or two because I like to start in media res and worry about the exposition later. So, We're going to start in media res, and we'll come back. So you guys are the three superheroes, possibly of Stark City, Koala, the Night Runner, and the Hangman, kind of an interesting combo of heroes. You are at the city beach, and there's the usual, you know, it's a bright, sunny summer day, so there's crowds, people sitting under umbrellas, people swimming, and so forth. There's also, at one end of the beach, there's a big pier where there's some boats and cranes, there's like a band. And there's something being pulled up. There's like a big, I don't know, it looks like a submarine being lowered onto a semi-trailer. There's a lot going on. There's dignitaries. There's a lot happening. But you guys have arrived just now. And what you can see is that there's the crowd seems to be being attacked by what look a lot like waterlogged Nazis coming up out of the surf. And just attacking people. So as you arrive, the pleasant scene is breaking into chaos as people scream, and I won't scream for you because it makes my makes my Skype drop out. As people scream and run, there's just zombies scattering across the beach. It looks wearing sort of torn and ruined old military uniforms, maybe. I don't want to entertain any questions along the lines of, but Stacy, how do we know they're zombies? You guys are experienced superheroes, and these are zombies, and they're not zombies who they're not like living zombies who got some kind of rage virus earlier this afternoon. These are long dead homicidal corpses. And instantly recognizable as such from their terrible salty odor and the way that they are plowing into the crowds of innocent beach bathing people. If you've ever seen the movie The Horror of Party Beach, this is nothing like that because that's comedy, whereas this is just horrible. I mean, if this wasn't if this podcast wasn't approved by the Comics Code Authority, of course it is, I'd be describing the horrible, horrible things the zombies are doing to these poor, innocent people on perhaps the eastern coast of the United States, or it says possibly Australia. So we could be almost anywhere.
Based on the description, not Seattle.
The three of you have just arrived in response to some sort of a thing that we'll deal with later. So the Koala, the Night Runner, and the Hangman You've probably just, let's see, none of you have like a convenient teleport the whole group around power. So I'm going to presume that you've arrived here in some handy conveyance in response to the emergency call that went out from the beach, presumably in a world of superheroes. People just carry people just have a button on their cell phone that summons superheroes. Like you'd use to call a Roomba or something like that. So,
the hangman has a minivan.
Exactly. So as you guys arrive, you see this incredible tableau, lots of things going on, screaming, it's real chaos. How would you like to respond to this situation?
Good grief, they're being attacked. Let's get them.
Well said.
Say, old chum, I think you're right about that. Those decaying goose steppers are crashing this beach party. Banjuro, my furry friend, what do you think we should do?
I think we should save the civilians and put them back to sleep.
I'm sorry, that was really good.
All right, old chum, all right. Boy, I tell you what, I'm going to jump into the fray and let people who want to think behind me. My weapons are whips, so I'm going to try to get myself between the crowd of Nazis and the civilians by sweeping the whips around in as large an arc as I can, trying to distract the zombies. If we were playing an MMO, I would say I'm trying to draw their ag on to me.
Whips and nooses.
Whips and nooses.
In fact, I always tended to assume that the hangman is just really just whipping people with nooses.
I wonder if, can I use my binding device, the noose of judgment, to try to rope up as many, you know what, I'll save that for my next turn. This turn, I'm just trying to antagonize as much as possible.
Say that again as a declarative sentence.
I try to jump between the crowd of Nazi zombies and civilians, and using my dual-wielding whips, I am trying to create a barrier of badass whippingness between zombies and
civilians. I guess a whip is a prowess weapon in here. So make me a die roll, my friend.
Okay, the first D6, we'll call it the negative D6. I rolled a six. The next D6 was called a positive. I rolled a 2, so I'm at -4. My prowess is a 6, so total result of 2.
Your total result is 2. Let's see, against a zombie, that should count as a moderate success, and you're trying to drive zombie back. Let's see what we can do here. I'm going to call that... let's see. A moderate success would count as a regular success. You knock one of the. There's a zombie. He's dressed in what is recognizably some kind of Nazi uniform, recognizable by the tattered old swastikas on his shoulders. Just as he was about to sink his horrible, decayed, gummy teeth into some innocent teenager, you hit him hard with one of your whips, knocking him back, probably taking his head off, because it's always gross when you attack zombies, and pushing back some of the zombies around him, who turn now. They're not so much blocked, but they're turning to attack you instead of everyone else. Why don't you? Are you going to try to avoid being attacked by these zombies?
Well, yes.
Then you might want to make your prowess roll to avoid being grabbed.
Should we let the other play characters go before the zombies attack?
No. In this case, we'll do each encounter through.
Okay. All right. First D6 is the negative D6. That's a 5. Second D6 was also a 5, so it zeroes out. And my you said coordination, right?
Yep.
Coordination is 5.
Oh, actually, it's probably it's really prowess, so 6.
So 6.
I'm sorry, what was your roll? Came to a zero?
Came to a zero.
So your total is a six, which means you easily avoid being grabbed by any zombies. Who's up next? It's either Night Runner or Koala.
I'll go. Okay. Night Runner. So I spot a family with a small child that's about to get noshed on by a zombie. And
there it is. Oh my god, that's the most horrible thing you've ever seen.
So I'm going to run over there doing some parkour free running style moves and basically try and boot the zombie in the head.
You're booting the zombie in the head. This is a pretty much a prowess. Mm-hmm. Attack. You're probably trying to get your acrobatics bonus in there.
That would be nice.
Which seems reasonable in this case. Roll dice and see how you do.
Okay. And I rolled a minus three, plus six, so total plus three.
Your total is a plus three, which beats a zombie. Your strength is seven. Mm-hmm. You since you easily demolished this zombie, perhaps you'd like to describe that for us.
So basically, I come jumping over the mother as she's protecting her child, feet first, go straight into the zombie's chest, and he lands on a picnic basket, and the head pops off, which is not actually shown in the comic because comics good.
No, it's just cut off by the top of the panel. But the sound effect goes whack, quathump, and everybody knows.
Yep.
Nicely done, Night Runner.
Yeah. So what's that koala doing?
Okay, my power.
Oh, wait a minute. Before we do the koala, let me go back and let's do. I would like Night Runner to. I'm guessing you're trying to avoid being grabbed by that same zombie. So give me your dodge roll.
Okay. So that's just prowess?
Yeah.
That is a plus three, so a total of eight.
So that was easy enough. No problem there. Now, Koala, sorry to interrupt you. What you up to?
Right. My powers are basically dream and mental-based, so not very good for zombies. Except I will try to use my telepathy to see if there's any form of control on the zombies' minds.
Ooh.
That's a useful thing to know.
That's an interesting thing. Okay. Go for it.
Okay, so telepathy is four. Oh dear. Not good.
Your telepathy is four, but we'll this is really an awareness roll.
Yeah.
Using
so
telepathy.
That's five. Okay. Yep. And my positive roll is a six and my negative is a five. So that's a total of one. So that's six in total, if you just add my awareness.
Yes, six in total. That's actually pretty good. That's a massive success.
Pretty good.
I was. Well, let's see. I should give you something for that. Okay, the answer is these zombies do not appear to be under any kind of control. When you probe the zombie's mind, it's the empty... It's just the empty sort of hunger-filled unmind of a zombie, the weird impulses of an inert corpse. But with your telepathy on, you're aware of some looming presence just offshore in the water, something coming this way, something malevolent, something frightening, something... Something more than just a zombie. Something beneath the waves.
Okay.
And right. That brings us around to, while you're standing there, since you didn't run in to engage the zombies, you're not open to attack from a zombie this round. So that brings us back to the hangman, who's just smashed a zombie and has a couple in front of him. What are you up to there, hangman? And by the way, as you guys are doing this, I'll point out that the beach is starting to empty as people run out, and there are police officers arriving just as you arrived. Some of them are having some success bringing zombies down, but others are being attacked by zombies, so it's a pretty wild, wild situation.
I am going to use my noose What is the exact name of that noose? The
Noose of Judgment.
And I will say, you picked the wrong day to invade my city, denizens of the deep. And I will try to lasso as many as possible.
I think you should call them former denizens of the deep, since they've both come out of the water and they're dead.
Former... You deceased denizens of the deep.
Ooh. Deceased of the deep. I think that kind of works. Back to your watery grave, is what you should be saying.
Back to your watery grave, you deceased denizens of the deep. This city is in the protection of the hangman. Point out, I'm wearing sporty board shorts over my uniform.
You are, in fact.
Like that classic Batman episode.
Surfing contest with Joker. Oh, yes.
Are you going to pull your special hang undead repeller rope out of your utility belt?
Oh my god, that would be awesome. Oh, I don't have wizardry.
seems like the hangman's... Actually, no. Instead, you should be doing some sort of line about how... I mean, that the hangman's... something about how people are usually not dead yet when you hang them. This is sort of backwards. I mean, there's a joke there. What does Archer say? Come back to me. I can't quite see it. I had something for this.
Okay, can I spend a point of determination to make my binding power an area effect?
Can you spend a point of determination? You know, the rule book is a little unclear on that kind of nonsensicalness, but I've generally allowed it happily, so yes.
So let's do that. My first d6...
Which brings you down to 3 determination?
Correct. And my first d6 is the negative d6, it's a 5. Second d6 is the positive, it's a 4. So negative 1, and binding device is 7, so total is 6.
So area bind, the total of 6, with a binding device of strength 7. Huh. You can... seven, three. That's actually pretty successful against zombies who are not good at that sort of thing. You can bind a group, all the zombies within your reach. That's like 4 or 5 zombies. Each individually noosed as you send out a hurl of a flurry of nooses.
Awesome. All right.
Yeah, actually, I'm kind of impressed.
Well, cool. All right, well, that's my turn.
Yeah, what's that Night Runner doing?
Are there any other civilians nearby that are being threatened?
Well, you stood back instead of running in, so probably...
No,
right,
the koala stood back.
I'm sorry, Night Runner. I brought up the wrong character sheet, so I'm reading the... you're right in the thick of zombies. You have no trouble grabbing a zombie if you want a target.
Okay, I'm gonna reach out, touch one, and try my paralysis attack.
Describe your paralysis attack for everyone listening at home. What's its nature?
Well, Nightrunner's powers come from a fae background somewhere back in the mists of history in the family line, and one of the things fae are famous for is elf shot, which can make people fall asleep or whatnot.
Oh.
He doesn't have any range on it, but if he can touch them, there's a little sparkle, and hopefully they will shut down.
Huh. Well, okay then. So that's paralysis, so you'd need to score a prowess hit and then try to activate paralysis.
Okay, so
if I'm understanding.
Touch attack. I got a plus 4, plus my prowess of 5 is a 9.
That easily allows you to tag any of these zombies.
Okay, and paralysis 6 versus target strength. I got a 5 on positive, 3 on negative, so that's 2. So 8 versus 8, their strength.
You easily... zombie comes up at you, reaching for your throat, but you just reach out, touch him with a beautiful little effervescent sparkles, not unlike the dice in the new Fate Kickstarter, had he's brought to a complete halt. Which I think, in the case of a zombie, if you magically stop a zombie from moving, you don't get a paralyzed zombie. It seems to be you get a corpse, so it just falls to your feet, quite inert. You having canceled out whatever hideous animism kept it moving.
Okay.
I like that.
Well done, my sparkly comrade.
I'm not a vampire. I keep telling you that.
And now what's the koala doing?
Okay, I will again use my telepathy power then to see if I can contact this greater presence. Considering I'm not equipped for much fighting. So,
Let's see. Since you used awareness to discover the presence, but since you're trying to contact it, that might be more willpower.
Okay.
Sure. So make a roll based on your willpower.
Okay. 2 sixes. So 0 in total with willpower of 6. Gives a 6.
And let me see. I'm gonna
just basically just try to drag any more information out of what it is out there. If it's some kind of hideous Cthulhuid monster or a bloke in a sparkly hat thing that's controlling
zombies. And what was your total again?
Just 6. Just willpower 6. Yes.
6. Let me just take a little look here. Through this very well organized game scenario, which you can purchase. I'm going to tag, put a maneuver on you, so to speak, a condition, and we're going to call it Jeepers.
Okay.
You've picked up essentially a temporary challenge called Jeepers, which can be used to give you a minus in the a future or just a compel. To get in your way, because you've made contact with something, your mind brushed up against something so dark and horrible and loathsome that it unpleasantly thrilled you to the core. Now, okay. Now the enemy forces get one free use of Jeepers against you, but after that, it's worth a determination point every time.
Okay.
So there's some value there. In fact, let's take the and that's that. So you made contact with something horrible, but you felt a mind perhaps stronger than your own.
Okay.
Something deep. Vast, horrible. I don't know. It's actually a line from The War of the Worlds, isn't it? An intellect vast, cool, and unsympathetic. But it sounds better when Orson Welles does it.
Yeah.
Although that's true of most things.
And we need the fanfare as well. That'd be cool.
Exactly.
Dun, dun, dun.
The Mercury Theater on the air brings. I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Which brings us back around to Hangman. Only I believe in this case, Hangman, it's worth pointing out that at the moment the zombie problem is rapidly coming under control. You guys have taken out a bunch of zombies, and the arriving police have wrestled a few zombies to the ground or perhaps shot them in the head off camera, because you know that's
or in silhouette, of course.
That
works.
Very colorful silhouette. Yeah, I'm not quite sure what year it is, so it you know, somewhere in between there.
Isn't that a contradiction in terms? colorful silhouette?
No. Anyway. No, not in the mind's eye.
Black and red.
Yeah,
a very common a very common trick in comics, the black and red silhouette. I think that works out nicely. So Hangman, I guess what I'm telling you is that the zombie problem is rapidly coming under control, and at this point you might want to consider another issue that's coming up, which is the appearance of another superhero who has suddenly appeared in front of you. It is your old friend, the Necromancer.
I was afraid you were going to say Steve Gutenberg. Okay.
No, it's not that bad. The Necromancer is one of those annoying Phantom Stranger types who shows up while superheroes are trying to have a shower and says, "You must do this." You know those guys?
I do indeed. Hey there, old chum necromancer.
Everyone hates those guys. This is
What eldritch advice have you pierced the veil to grace us with this fine morn?
He says, I come to bring you bad tidings. I don't know. He says whatever the necromancer always says. It's a lot of annoying gibberish. By the mystic moons of Mumbledy Peg, I warn you of terrible things. They have foolishly raised that Nazi sub. He says, pointing to the pier, where you can see that in fact the cranes are in fact lowering what looks like a damaged old World War II sub onto like the bed of a semi truck trailer. This is all on the pier, but you can see it from the beach. And the sub is damaged, and it does sort of look like maybe the zombies originally emerged from the sub. You can perhaps, as you look up, still see a zombie or two climbing out of the breach in the sub's hull. Right, it's called a hull, not a chassis, because it's a sub. And and there are people on the docks. The pier is being slowly cleared of people in the same way the beach is being cleared of people. But there's still all sorts of people. There was obviously a lot of people on the pier a few minutes ago, and you can see that there are like security people and police people fighting with the zombies. But it now does seem clear that these zombies originally came from there, and the necromancer is pointing at that menacingly. If I may say so, everything the necromancer does is menacing. It's just his way. He says, they have woken that which should be left sleeping, and they have brought up to the fresh air of the upper world that which should have been kept safely buried beneath the grave of deep waters. Which, again, is the kind of thing he's always going on about.
And how should we remedy this problem, old colleague, chum, companion in arms?
He says,
"Mysterious on board stranger, not trademarked.
On board that sub are canisters of the secret Nazi experiment, the Lazarus Serum, which creates these foul walking dead. You must retrieve those, or I'm saying, he'd say, we must retrieve those canisters before they do."
Indeed.
And as if to punctuate his exciting words, at that moment, something rises from the water at the end of the pier. It's a giant squid with a beak and tentacles. It's big. Wait a minute. It's actually much worse than that, or stranger. It's a giant mechanical squid. As it comes up out of the water, you can clearly see the sun gleaming on its metallic surface. It's like a big robot squid, and it pulls itself up at the end of the pier, and a hatch opens, and a bunch of bad guys come swarming out of it, easily recognizable as the usual commando goons of the Iron Hand, one of those international criminal organizations that you guys are always poking in the eye. So the Iron Hand goons are running down the pier towards the German sub, and you can see coming out of the squid, you can see not only a bunch of these Iron Hand commandos, but also your old nemesis, the Dark Pharaoh. If you could imagine a dark-skinned Yul Brynner in a gorgeous three-piece suit, you can imagine the Dark Pharaoh, one of the greatest sorcerers and crazy evil guys in the world. He's the sort of guy who's always trying to summon up, you know, Cthulhu and that kind of crap.
A Dark Pharaoh. I should have known that mystical malefactor was behind this alchemical atrocity.
The necromancer turns to you guys and says, "You must stop them before they can recover the Lazarus serum." And then he sort of flies up into the air and in the general direction of the Dark Pharaoh. You know, with his magical capes fluttering in a magical way. You know, he's one of those guys who wears mostly CGI clothing, which is really just offensive, if you want my opinion, but I guess you didn't ask.
There's not a specialist, we can have topic. If it's my turn, I would like to use the Noose of Judgment.
It is now your turn, yes.
To ensnare as many of the Iron Hand Commandos as I can.
Well, you'd have to get to the pier first. That would probably take you a turn to since you're on the beach. Moving to the pier would be roughly the equivalent of changing a fate zone, so you'd have to run to the pier.
Look, there's a conveniently placed streetlight, and I swing on that using my swinging power 7, also with the Noose of Judgment, to get to the pier.
Are there streetlights on the beach? Well, the pier would have lights along it, so actually that probably works. Sure. What about Night Runner and the Koala?
Okay, I am going to try and use my telepathy combined with my dream travel power, dream control, and try and put the guy who is piloting the giant mechanical octopus squid to sleep, to try and stop him from driving off.
That's clever, although you can't see him from where
you're...
Yeah,
so I might have to establish a telepathic link to him first.
Well, that's actually kind of clever. Let me just glance here at one of these written rules. We'll add a little difficulty since you can't see him, but let's see, this is telepathy. You're probing for someone that you think is there. I'm going to call that willpower. So make me a roll.
Okay. Two and a two, so zero. So willpower is 6, telepathy is 4.
Your willpower is 6. Blah, 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 blah. I'm going to rule that in this turn, you make contact with the mind of the Iron Hand guy who's piloting the sub. And you'll have to wait till the next turn to try to act on that connection.
Yep, that's good. As long as I can know he's there and I can try and seek him out, that's fine.
Yeah, so you're standing on the beach staring at the big mechanical squid. What about Night Runner?
Okay, well, I am doing my best to get over to the pier, but in the meantime, you know, that giant squid that's parked on the end of the pier is pretty
mechanical
heavy.
Squid.
Yeah. It turns out the city's had a bit of a budget cut, and it's just their bad luck that the pier hasn't really been maintained quite right, and it's going to collapse on them.
Oh, this is one of those
probability control
things. Well, let's see. It's a probability.
I'm not expecting to hurt them, but it should cut them off from the submarines.
There's setting a maximum to blah, 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 like normal determination. That's a bit of a... Okay. Let's see. So you want to... So this is sort of like making a jinx-based declaration.
Right.
Let's think about that. Okay.
Yeah, okay. That's actually perfectly reasonable. Let's we'll think of that as being like a situational aspect thrown onto the thrown onto the pier. So yes, the pier between the Iron Hand guys and the and the submarine where they're running to, the boards break open under the weight of the Red Hand troopers, and the first probably the first two troopers fall into the ocean through the pier. Drat! What incredibly bad luck! Because you know they're wearing like combat armor and they've got laser rifles, so that's an inconvenience for them. You know, it probably won't take them too long to get over over that that obstacle, but that definitely slows them down, and two of them fall into the water. Hangman, you are at this point arriving on the pier. You, what do you want to be doing?
And I guess I avoid falling in the water.
You avoid falling in the water. There's the pier is still standing. There's just a there's a gap now in the pier between you know, between where you and the old German submarine are, and where the robot squid and the Iron Hand Commandos are.
Okay, so the, a bit of the pier between the German sub and the Iron Hand Commandos fell out, so there's a water barrier they have to cross to get there?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to attempt to use the Noose of Judgment to ensnare as many of these scofflaws as I can.
You're going for that. Now, your choice of targets, you've got some zombies that are coming out of the submarine, which would be closer to you, and then on the other side of the water hazard, you've got the Iron Hand Commandos. Who are you targeting here with the Noose of Judgment?
The Iron Hand Commandos is the bigger threat right now, according to the Necromancer. So,
yes, that's true. Although the zombies will be getting to you first.
I'm going for Iron Hand Commandos because I'm a hero.
Okay, fair enough. And now, are you going for one Iron Hand noosing one Iron Hand guy, or are you going to?
I spent determination, make an area effect. My negative dice was a 1, my positive dice was a 6, so a total result of 5. My binding power is 7, so 5 plus 7 takes me to 12.
5. Well, it should, yeah, okay, the binding power, let's just have a, that sounds, though, yeah, binding powers is based on your coordination. What was your roll?
Negative 1 and a positive 6.
So you got a 5.
Yep.
5 in your coordination is actually 10. But that still beats the commandos. Let me just look these commandos up. So you can get, that allows you to bind, 4 of the Iron Hand Commandos, essentially with 4 nooses. Since those guys were, trying to get across the water hazard, that, that essentially, I think we can imagine that, that as they jump over the break in the pier, as they're arriving, you're noosing them.
Okay, sounds good.
Because that would that would be them essentially jumping towards you. And whenever a man jumps towards the Noose of Judgment, he's likely to find himself. I don't know. You finish it. I had something for this. Come back to me. You just noose them and say, "I did no more than you let me do."
Let's put a pin on that one. That's my turn. So who's next?
Night Runner, what are you doing?
I'm doing my best to get to the pier as quickly as I can. And I jump up underneath it and start running under the bottom side of the pier to try and come up through the hole.
Oh, sure, you've got that parkour thing.
And wall crawling.
Oh, so you arrive without much trouble. What do you want to do when you get there?
I think we'll try the... So there's zombies closing in from behind and the Iron Hand guys coming in the other way?
There's zombies sort of scattered across the dock. They're still coming out of the German sub. So I'd say Hangman might be in danger of having some zombies come up behind him while he's noosing the Iron Hand guys.
Hangman, I'm going to try and get inside the sub and get the canisters. Can you hold these guys off?
You bet.
All right. And I'll, as I'm headed towards the sub, I will try to paralyze one of the zombies as I go by.
Fine. Make your prowess roll to paralyze a zombie.
You'll
have
prowess.
To paralyze it. There's always a zombie in the door anyway, so you'd have to do that.
All right, so 5 on positive, 4 on negative, so that's a total of 1. Prowess plus 5, so that's a total of 6.
It's a total of 6. That allows you to paralyze a zombie, which I think we've determined actually just de-energizes a zombie. And you can next turn try to enter the German submarine.
Yep.
And now what's happening with the koala?
Okay, after establishing my telepathic connection with this guy, sub, I am going to attempt to send him to the Sleepy Bobos and put him to sleep.
Now, what are you doing that with? What's the...
It's Dream Control. It is a stunt off of Dream Control using the lovely With Great Power stats that haven't been published yet.
Oh, I know the ones you mean. Yes, well, that's very cheeky of you, if you don't mind my saying so. Using a great power. Hang on, I'm actually going to look just for the sheer. That means I have to type the password because it's a password controlled file, and I've entered the password wrong. But I'll be damned if I'm just going to be defeated by you in this way. Dream Control.
Can I give you a +2 for assistance? I have the book in front of me.
Nope. I've got it. Dream Control. Oh, this is sleep. Using a successful Dream Control willpower test. Huh. Isn't that clever? Oh. Okay, so this is going to, since it's a stunt, that's going to cost you a...
Damnation.
Exactly. You had
just the one.
Just the one. So you're out. Make your willpower test roll.
Okay.
You can just say willpower test.
Yep. 4 positive and 2 negative with a willpower 6 gives a grand total of 8.
Gives a grand total of 8. That is effective. And you can feel the pilot of the big robot squid. The big robot squid is pretty exotic, but it's not hard for you to work through the minds of these Iron Hand guys because you run into these guys all the time. They're pretty standard world hating bad guys. So you can put this guy to sleep. You can feel him sort of collapsing at the controls. Of the squid, and anyone else who's watching might notice the squid tentacles, the big sort of robot tentacles of the squid will just start going into their I don't know what you call it, their routine. You know, if there's no one working the controls, they just sort of wiggle the same way over and over in a kind of a holding pattern.
Give him a dream of Brockwurst sauerkraut. So he dreams he's eating that.
I see. You are a... I said you were a cheeky bastard. I was right. Okay, so that brings us back to... you're doing that from the safety of the beach.
Yep.
that brings us back to the Hangman. Also, I should take this before we do the Hangman. I should tell you that now above the dock, you can see that the above the pier, above where you guys are having your little adventure, you can see that up in the air, the Necromancer and the Dark Pharaoh are engaging in one of those inexplicable wizardly combat things, which means they're both just sort of hanging there in the air facing each other, like, and nothing's happening. You know from experience that if you were to ask, they would tell you that they're sending exciting bolts of plasma across, you know, a million realities. And that, but us normal people can never see anything when that stuff happens. It looks more like a stare-down contest.
Dragon Ball Z style stare down. The background's flashing behind them and their hair waving just so in the breeze.
That is exactly right.
That sounded a little odd. I wasn't trying to go that way. But
all right. Yeah, I liked it.
Okay, so what's the situation?
You're standing on the dock. You're standing on the pier. You're standing near the break in the pier. And three or four of the Iron Hand guys have jumped across the pier, and you have noosed them up as they've arrived. And they're now probably I don't know what you do with noosed guys. Do you leave them hanging off the pier?
It's just kind of whatever Peter Parker would do, I suppose.
Kind of a horrible image, but I guess that's what this guy does. So they'd be like struggling trying to free themselves. An Iron Hand guy doesn't have a terribly good chance of freeing himself from a noose of judgment, but I guess anything is possible over a couple of turns. They would eventually work themselves free if they had four or five turns left to themselves. Otherwise, a couple of the other Iron Hand guys appear to be activating jetpacks. Apparently, guys in front didn't have jetpacks because they weren't expecting to have so much trouble running down a pier. But you can see that they're a couple of these Iron Hand commandos have emerged from the squid, the big robot squid, and they are jumping into the air with jetpacks, allowing themselves to easily zip over, the break in the pier. And you, they're obviously heading for that German sub.
Mm. Okay, how many guys are there in jetpacks?
I'd say there are three of them.
Okay, then I think you know what I'm going to do.
I think I do, indeed.
Okay, negative die is a 6, positive die is a 4.
This is costing you a determination point.
Yep, I'm down to no determination at this point.
Nope. I'm sorry, what was your total?
Negative 2.
Negative 2 on your gives you a coordination roll of 3.
Mm-hmm.
Against these elite commandos, they may actually get past you for once. Which would be kind of nice, because you've been making pretty easy work of my minions here. Yes, these guys fly right past you on their jetpacks. You fail to catch them. Also, you'll one of the commandos who has not gone across in a jetpack is shooting at you with his laser rifle, and you might want to make some kind of dodge type of a thing, like a coordination roll.
Okay. Cool. First D6 is a 1. That's my negative. Yeah. Second D6 is a 6, positive, so total result of a 5. And my coordination is 5, so that's a total of 10.
Total of 10. Let's just see. Commander attacks you. Four, five. Okay, you are shot at with a laser rifle, but you easily roll out of the way. Although it sends further pieces of the pier flying, and there's one of those nice electric cracks. You know, lasers in lasers are nothing like what people. You know, if you watch a industrial documentary about what lasers are like. It's almost like they're just like really cool, like flashlights that you can use as rulers. But that's not what they're like at all, my friend. A laser is like a thunderbolt. It makes a loud cracking noise. It sends shrapnel flying in all directions. It's really bright and exciting. That's what lasers are. Next week, we'll tell you what radiation really is, which is... Because they get that wrong. It's really dangerous, too. Don't get close to it. It's easy to stay away from radiation because it's got that shimmery glow.
Kirby dots.
Yeah. There's really no need for radiation detectors. You can just see the stuff. And so long as you take a step back, you'll be fine. Anyway, that brings us to the Night Runner, who is just entering the German sub.
So I am looking around at this to the point I realize that, number one, it's dark, and number two, I don't read German.
It is dark, and you don't read German. There is some light coming in because you didn't go in through a door. You went in through a big rent in the side of the hull. So there is light coming in. You can see that you're entering the bridge of the submarine, and that's obvious and easy to tell because the bridge of a World War II submarine is easily recognized by anyone who's ever seen a World War II movie or traveled back in time to World War II. Mm-hmm. Now, since your character is a modern person of our world, I assume that you have seen a World War II movie, and since your character is a superhero, I assume you have gone back in time to World War II at least once. You may even have a commuter pass for going back in time to World War II. Many superheroes do. So you would easily recognize the bridge of a Nazi sub. It's in pretty bad condition. This sub has really just been at the bottom of the ocean since World War II time, and with a big hole in the side, frankly. So it's not in good shape. There are a zombie or two lurking around. The zombies that are in the sub at this point are the zombies that have more trouble moving. Most of the crew has poured out of the sub. The ones that are in here, I think, tend to be the ones missing feet. Which is inconvenient for a zombie.
Where would the canisters be? I'm thinking either the captain's quarters or some hold someplace.
Yeah, I think that's pretty good. I will say that because a submarine of this type is actually surprisingly small, there's not a lot of, it's not a big maze. Pretty much you can go, from here you can pretty much go back to the stern towards the propellers, or forward, toward the front, the bow of the ship. But those are pretty much your options. I mean, you can't. It's not like you're in. It's not like you're on the Starship Enterprise with corridors going in all directions. You're either going back or forward. I mean, the whole thing is only as big as a. It's only as big as a couple of motorhomes strung together.
Right. I'm basically just going to sort of start a search pattern. I'll start by going forward.
You're going to start by going forward?
I'm not going to go out of my way to worry about a zombie unless it's going to try to attack me, and then I'll just put it out of its misery, I guess.
Fair enough. And why don't you do a... Say we're going to call this some searching.
Okay.
So this would essentially be an awareness thing. Why don't you start by giving me an awareness roll?
Alrighty. Alright, plus 2, minus 4, so minus 2 on the roll, awareness is 6, so my total's a 4.
Total awareness of 4, which is an awareness, is a major success, and while you're doing this, you'll be avoiding zombies, so why don't you make me a dodge roll while you're at it?
Alrighty. Plus 6, minus 2, so total of 9 with my, coordination.
9, okay, excellent. And that brings us round, so you'll probably avoid being grabbed by zombies.
I'll just walk on the ceiling.
That would help you avoid the zombies just fine. Good point. And that brings us to the koala.
Okay.
Oh, sorry.
No, I was just saying your name, because we hadn't said it much this adventure.
Say the koala. Okay.
The koala. I know who I am. So we have a sleeping pilot in the ship. I will try and zap one of the jetpack dudes with my mental blast.
Fair enough.
And
make
bring
that
him
roll.
Out the sky. So that would be, what is it, prowess or coordination, or is it just my mental blast?
Willpower. It's
willpower.
Willpower.
Even better. Fantastic. Oh, two and a two, so that's zero. Willpower six. So six.
Willpower for a total of six. Let me see about this guy. Commando. Four is two. He's a moderate success. I'd say that works. Okay, you can knock down. So one of the two of the jetpack guys will arrive at the. We'll arrive at the sub, and the third just crashes into the water, literally asleep at the controls.
There you go. All good.
However, you yeah, okay, that works. Next turn, Hangman, what are you doing?
Okay, are there any jetpack guys left?
There are two of the three jetpack guys. Two of them have successfully made it to the sub, and they're landing at the rent in the hole of the sub where Night Runner just ran in.
Okay, I try to snare one of them with the Noose of Judgment.
Make me a coordination roll, Noose of Judgment wielder.
Negative die was a two. Positive die was a five. Total of three. And let's see, my coordination is seven, was it? Coordination was five.
Yeah, coordination is five.
Total of eight.
Total is eight against a coordination of four, I believe, which gives you a major success, which means you easily bind one of the two. Meanwhile, there's still a guy with a laser gun shooting at you, so you'll want to dodge again. Make another a coordination roll to get out of the way.
Okay. First die is six, so that's my negative die. Second die is two, so negative four. Coordination five, so I get a one as my end result.
Yeah, your coordination is a one. Mm-hmm. That means you get hit by a blast of a laser.
Drat.
That is a drat. The laser does blast five.
So I'm down to stamina three.
You lose exactly.
Ouch.
Ah, you say.
That's smarted.
Or something. Yeah, exactly. Sorry. You would never say ah. You would say that's smarted. And that brings us to Night Runner. Night Runner, what are you doing?
So I am basically continuing my search, trying to find these canisters.
Right, you easily find there are four canisters labeled Lazarus Serum, which apparently is the same in German as it is in English, so they're easy to find. In the two compartments up, so you find them without trouble. One of the canisters is broken. So there are three good canisters and one that's clearly just like all poured out, presumably causing all the Nazis to come to life.
Okay, I will attempt to gather them up.
Right.
And make my way back to the hole.
Okay, there's...
Or you said I was up. Is there any chance there's like an external hatch going up?
That's a fine question. I really have no idea. Let's take a look here at the sub. You can see that the room ahead of you is the... There's no openings per se, but the room ahead of you is obviously the torpedo room in the front.
Mm-hmm.
It would have openings.
Okay. Yeah, because I have to assume that the... I probably heard the jetpacks landing on the...
yes, you
behind
you're
behind me. So yeah, I'll try and head out the torpedo tube carrying the canisters.
Okay, and that brings us back to the amazing koala, the wonder from down under.
Okay, so we have how many jetpackers still active? One or two?
I think there's one. There's one there's going one. Into the suburbs now.
Okay. Okay. Wait. Can I see him, or is he disappeared within its shadowy depths?
You can see him entering the submarine at this time.
Okay. I'll wang him with a mental blast, and again, let's shoot with.
Make that roll.
Unbelievable. Two sixes, so back to six again. I seem to be breaking
back
even.
Back to six.
Time.
I know his willpower is four, so that works. He drops. So let's see. It's time to catch this up. You've got Hangman is wounded, but he's taken out most of the commandos. Night Runner is at this moment emerging from the front forward torpedo tube, carrying the laser serum canisters. Koala's standing on the beach, knocking down the bad guys telepathically. And the sub is no longer functional. At this time, and up above you, of course, is the Necromancer and the Dark Pharaoh fighting magically. At this point, the Necromancer will say something like, "Confound you assholes." I mean...
Okay, come on,
wait, what?
"Confound you mortals. I'm sick of you and your puny efforts to stop my grand destiny, which, as you know, involves destroying your world. You may think that you've captured the Lazarus Serum, disabled my allies, and generally won the day, but it only seems that way. For surely even this defeat is just another success in my larger plan, although I admit I don't quite see that yet." And then he disappears in a clap of nausea-inducing thunder. Because you guys have won.
That was the Dark Pharaoh who said that.
That was the Dark Pharaoh who said that. Okay. He leaves, and the Necromancer is like, "Oh, because I was totally losing." But you've disabled the commandos. You've disabled the squid sub, so it can't be used as an escape for the commandos, and you've captured the canisters, which is the MacGuffin for the whole adventure. At this point, the Dark Pharaoh sees no great point in continuing and leaves. You win. You're actually victorious.
Huh.
That's actually pretty good. We had a nice jeepers against Koala that I was hoping to use, and we did do some serious damage to the Hangman, who couldn't have taken another laser blast. But through your cleverness and your general stick-to-itness, you have won the day, and the three of you will be known as the Heroes of the Beach.
Okay, that's a spin-off show right there, isn't it?
I'd say it is. It's it could be something like, there was Baywatch Nights, as I remember. So this would be like Baywatch Capes.
Okay, and if you don't have a surfing koala in that show, I mean, what show can you put him in?
No, you really, there'd be no point otherwise. And, oddly, we're about 90 minutes in, which means we either have to stop or stop.
Well, that works too. I had a good time. What did you guys think?
I liked it. Thank you.
Yeah, it was
all
good. Good having you on, Chris. If you're up for it, we can always use another member. I might reach out to you again if you're up for it.
Yeah.
I'd love to.
Please, this was great fun. I'm very fond of this scenario. There's another whole part if you've got, another hour, which I don't. But if you have another hour, you can chase the Pharaoh back to his headquarters, and that makes a nice... especially that works especially well if you guys lose and the Pharaoh gets the canisters. But you guys, I was a little worried that three of you wasn't quite enough. But the number of zombies and commandos scales nicely. And except I couldn't quite I didn't know the dream rule, and I may have forgotten a thing or two here or there. My icons is a tad rusty. I think that worked out fairly well.
Yeah, it was kind of like a nice, very special episode of the Banff podcast where we got to explore the probability rules and the dream rules a little bit.
Exactly. We could have used. In fact, I like those probability rolls. We could do more of that. That would be. It would be nice to see more of those.
Well, if the trooper had made it inside the sub, the floor was going to collapse out from under him because, well, it's rusty and it's been underwater for years. So
sure. That
works just fine.
And of course, you could also just apply sort of negative determination effects to him, giving him mm-hmm. Minus twos for whatever he's doing, which is pretty handy. Nice power.
So probability control, that's kind of a retcon, isn't it?
Well, what it gives you is essentially its own determination points to spend on retcons or as either bonuses if it's a lucky version of probability control, or penalties like a minus two to a roll if it's the jinx. This was the jinx power.
Yes.
So yeah, kind of cool.
Okay. Well, nifty. Well, hey, I should probably go change out of these clothes that are still smelling of sour milk and see what the wife and the baby are up to.
I'm going to go feed a bunch of rats.
Chris, anything you want to add before we call it a podcast?
I just want to say thanks for having me on. This was a lot of fun. Really enjoyed it.
It was a pleasure having you. Adrian, same to you. Anything else you want to contribute before we call it a podcast?
No, don't think so. All good, though.
Okay, thanks. Stacey, as always, it's a pleasure bringing one of your games.
I didn't write the game, but it was fun to GM it.
Yeah, I think this one was me, John Post, because he contributed the Necromancer character, and my buddy from Boston, Chris McGoherty.
There's some nice stuff. I hope you don't mind that I skipped the opening.
Oh, no, not at all. It's it's for the GM to do what they want to with it. And the exposition can slow things down, so yeah, absolutely. So, all right, well, hey, folks, thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch you next time on the BAMF Podcast.